record this for accuracy, and we've just got the top of the application, the survey. You can see the standard information, the date and the time, and you are meeting us. And so I first want to thank you for your time, because I know.
Yes, thank you.
This time thank of year,
it's a bit busy.
Yeah, so we really appreciate you.
Just about 2 weeks away from the big day.
The big day.
Yeah.
The big day of the season getting started.
The big reveal, right. As it says, the purpose of this observation program is to provide voters with accurate information about the election process. And we want to emphasize how important you think your role is in ensuring that everyone in the county sees the elections here are free, fair, and legitimate. So, our first question is, what is your biggest concern about the upcoming election?
I think it would be misinformation. You know, just the confusion sometimes that gives voters. And then they're calling us, and, you know, we have to in turn answer their questions and assure them that something is or isn't what they've heard.
Okay.
So misinformation, okay. You know, and the third party mailings have been an issue. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be an issue if they would use a current list. Mm. You know, they're mailing to a list that I'm not even sure where they got the information or the names, you know. Mm-hmm. So those two things would be a concern and something we'll have to deal with.
When you say the list, is it because people are coming to you and saying that people that have passed away are getting these mailings? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's common. We're hearing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's recent and then older. You know, I had a lady call, someone passed away in 2007. You know, there's something wrong with a list that somebody has that has that information on it.
Can I ask you a question? Mm-hmm. When you found out that person was 2007, they're saying, did you look to verify if that name was on the roll or not? Had it been struck from the roll?
In 2007.
In 2007.
Within a couple weeks, or about 3 weeks, I think it was, after they had passed away, we had taken them off the roll.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. When you said misinformation and people are calling you, what's the most common question that you get? Or one of the two most common?
Well, after last November, the biggest issue we had was with people being told that their ballot was on the internet, and they would go online trying to find their ballot, and their ballot's not on the internet, you know. I'm trying to go online, I can't see my ballot. Well, your ballot's not gonna be on there. There's no way we can attach a ballot online to a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
And those ballots are run through the machine there with the clerk. We never see them again.
I know where that came from. Came from because, you know, you look up in your profile what elections you voted in. People were saying you could look at your ballot. Mm-hmm. But what it was you were able to look up what election you voted in.
And and that even takes a day or two to get on there, because it's not automatically going to go on there until we do the voter credit, and then that's added to the site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just general little things like that people just don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We tell our people to call. You have any question to call here. You know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Question number two, just as a continuation. Any other major concerns?
Mm-hmm.
No, those are pretty primarily mm-hmm. them. Okay. Number three. Do you feel like you have the resources, equipment, personnel, and training needed to run an effective election in November?
Yes.
Great.
The county is very supportive.
Mm-hmm. All righty. So we'll skip number four because
I have a follow-up question for number three.
Mm-hmm.
Your election officers, so I guess this would be a question for you as well. Do you have parity throughout your election officers?
Yes.
I mean, how many officers do you have coming up in the next cycle?
You're talking about how many will we use in an election? Probably about 80.
And it is equal 40-40?
We do, you know, each precinct is divided equally.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Just wanted to verify that. Thank you.
Number five, the county election board is supposed to consist of two Democrats and a Republican under a Democratic governor, but in some areas, boards have had trouble finding willing Republicans and have appointed an independent instead or another Democrat. What is the situation in this county?
We have two Democrats and a Republican. We've never had that issue. Didn't know that issue exists till I read that. We've not had a problem, and as I say, Sybil's our board secretary, been our secretary for some time, and she's our Republican member.
Okay. God bless you. Number six, what about precinct staff? Are you able to have equal numbers of Democrats and Republicans?
Yes.
Okay, so that pretty much was the same question
Parity
that you
question.
Just asked there, Josh. Yeah. Is the County Board of Elections engaged in your work year-round or mostly near elections?
Year-round. We support each other. She's involved, with the decisions we make. I mean, I do the registration and absentee. They're responsible for election day, and we help each other. It's a year-round.
How long have you been registrar?
24 years.
How much?
24 and a half.
24 years. Great.
And
how long have you been
and
on the electoral board?
I have been on since 2003.
So thank you very much for that. And we'll move on to the next section, which is on voter roll. Mm-hmm. Number eight, when was the last time the voter file in your county was scrubbed or cleaned?
We had a voter purge in June.
June of 2021?
Of this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so it's roughly been about 2 months.
Well, yeah, 2 months. But, you know, we work on our roll every day.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. You know, we get change of addresses, death notices. I mean, we work on our roll every day. We mail out our voter notices if they're returned undeliverable. You know, we're constantly, that's what we do in the registrar's office, is
okay.
Work on that roll.
I have a follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
Just best of your knowledge off your top of head, how many voters were purged on 2021?
And I have to look to be sure, but it seems to me like it was right around 300. So I can get that actual number at some point if you'd like for me to, when we go back in maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But you understand the purge, right?
Yes, ma'am.
It's not an automatic thing. And, you know, there's a few years worth of process before they reach that point.
Yes, ma'am.
9A, does the health department, coroner, or Bureau of Vital Statistics send a list of deceased people to your office every month so they can be removed from the voter roll?
They don't come to me directly. They go through the Department of Elections, and then they send them forward to the locality.
So the Department of Elections in Richmond?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then you get your notification through Veris?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And B, if you just answered that. 10, when was the last time the clerk of court submitted a list of individuals who declined to serve on jury duty on the basis of being a non-citizen?
That's not a report I get from them.
Okay. Number 11, when was the last time you had access to the National Change of Address List or any other change of address list?
Well, that list is a state list. They get that list and then send to us the change of addresses that apply to my locality. So, and if you want to know how often, we just had one in June. The National Change of Address List is what they mailed out and did in June right after they did the purge.
Okay.
So, but that's not a list I have access to. They have access, they get the information and then forward to the locality the changes we need to make.
So again, the state gets the national list, it's sent to the State Board of Elections,
yeah.
they drop it onto Veris, and then you're sent the notification to access Veris. Thank you.
Alrighty. 12A, are you confident that the voter file is accurate and up to date?
Yes, ma'am. As I say, we work on that every day.
Okay.
We work hard at it.
All right. That's good to hear.
Yes.
Number 13, how many households in your locality have more than 7 individuals registered at the same address? Do you have any way of determining that?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, it would require us to take a street list and go in and pull up an address and see how many people are registered there. We have 23,000 registered voters. I mean, that's a daunting thing. You'd almost have to do it one at a time.
Can you export that list to Microsoft Excel, like the voter roll list?
We don't provide a list to anybody. I'm sure we can. I've not pulled a list.
Mm-hmm.
The state would provide me that list. I've never really put any thought to that.
Yeah, so
I don't have any purpose to do that, really. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think through my head how the process could work. And part of it also is, you know, thinking of if that were to be something somebody was going to ask or look into or whatever. I don't think that you could do that with Excel pretty easily.
Yes, you can. The actual voter roll itself at the election board is a CSV file.
Yeah, it's a CSV file.
So,
you can figure that out in about 10 minutes.
The reason we know this is we actually bought the file because it's for sale.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to buy it through the Board of Elections. It's about $11,000. So. But you, on the other hand, you get direct access to it if you want it. Yes, you do.
I couldn't answer that because I've never really thought about pulling it and doing it. You know,
would you have any concern if you were to discover an address? Let me just throw something out there. 144 Maple Lane. It's up in the hills somewhere off the main drag. And you found out there were 12 registered voters at that address. Would that concern you?
Well, I guess it would. I'm not sure that, you know, we take voter registration applications and we take people at what they give us. I'm not sure what I would do at that point if I saw that. I'd have to think through that and see what the process would be.
So if a third-party organization performed a canvas of the neighborhood and discovered that this address that has 12 registered voters discovered that there's only 2 people living there, what would be the procedure to remove those other 10 registered voters from the list?
I would have to get direction from the Department of Elections.
Thank you.
And I would also, at some point, that would probably include my Commonwealth attorney if something was found to be amiss.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome answer.
Okay. Question number 14. During registration, how do you verify that voters are citizens?
Well, of course, if we get a registration through DMV, they're already certified citizens. They have to send information to DMV to get a license. So that's taken care of really through DMV. If they come in person, they answer the question, they sign the application under penalty of felony conviction. That's what I go with.
So there's no other verification?
No, as I understand it, there's no verification that we would have to do.
Okay. Alrighty, moving on. Concerns were raised across the country about the accuracy and integrity of voting machines in the 2020 elections. Number 15, there are 3 types of voting machines used in Virginia. Can you tell me which machines you use?
Mm-hmm. Election systems and software.
Election systems and software.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And who, number 16, who calibrates the voting machines? And can you explain that process?
That's done by the Electoral Board. And we do the logic and accuracy testing before every election.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how is that logic and accuracy process handled? What's the steps there?
Well, the ballots are marked and sent through, and then those are matched to the tape to make sure they've been read correctly.
Okay.
It's called a test packet.
Okay. And if something it doesn't come through properly, then what happens with that machine?
It would be either fixed or whatever, or it would be removed and we would get another one, and we would never send it out if it didn't.
Okay.
The bottom line is we would never send it
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it's so not usable.
A follow-up question to that. The early voting machine that you're about to use, has it had its LNA test?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's see. 17, do you invite party representatives to witness this calibration?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, excellent.
Now, those party representatives, is that just your electoral board, or are you inviting the chairmen to allow individuals from the party to attend?
We send letters to the party, and they've been sent. They've been notified.
Okay.
They were notified that we did our early voting machine, and then to each process.
Okay. All right. Question number 18. Are voting machines ever connected to the internet?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And if they are not connected to the internet, how and when are they updated?
We do annual maintenance on our equipment, and it's updated at that time.
So that annual maintenance is performed by this office?
The annual maintenance is done by election systems and software.
Election systems, okay.
And what's that process entail? You familiar with?
Well, they upgrade the machine to the, with any changes.
Yeah, they come in, they come here, we do not send them out.
Okay.
The machines are here, they stay here all the time. They come in with their three people come in, and they've got their whole process, and when they finish, they give us a checklist of everything they have checked. It's from cleaning screens to batteries to, you know, anything that is inside that machine. It is checked and taken care of. We're very proud of the fact that our machines all through the years, we've always done that yearly maintenance. Great.
Thank you so much. All right, many changes in the election procedures were introduced in response to the COVID pandemic, and some people have argued that these changes weakened the integrity of the election system process. 19, as an election professional, do you think the changes made in the election process in Virginia in response to COVID have weakened election integrity, strengthened election integrity, or made no change in the election integrity? You can answer weakened integrity, strengthened integrity, made no change, don't know, or there's no answer.
I say no change. Because I don't think that the election integrity was affected in any way.
Okay, and the first question we had was what your concerns, and it was misinformation. Mm-hmm. So do you think that ties into it?
No, because, the misinformation was not necessarily having to do with the COVID changes that they made. You know, we were able to cure ballots. So, if there wasn't misinformation with whether you had to have a witness signature or not, we were able to take care of that with our voters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, 20, number A. Did you receive any funding or in-kind contributions for training, staff, voter education, or equipment, or any other purpose from outside the state of Virginia?
No.
Did you receive any CARES Act funding?
Yes.
Okay. And can you tell us what the funding was used for?
It was used for just some general extra equipment in our office for mailings. Oh gosh, now I have to think. Some personnel to help during the election time. Mm-hmm.
Number 21, effective July 2021, Senate Bill 1097 eliminated requirements for voters to have a witness signature on absentee ballots for any election during a declared state of emergency. The governor has now rescinded that state of emergency. How are you training your staff to ensure that there is a signature match for the upcoming election?
Well, we've never really been able to match a witness signature because we have nothing to match it to. A witness signature is different from the voter signature. Voter signature can be matched, but a witness signature you can't match.
Just
verify that it's there, I'm assuming.
22. There is a lot of concern in Virginia and across the country about the security and integrity of the ballot drop boxes. What are the chain of custody procedures for ballot drop boxes?
The state provides a chain of custody form that we use. We use here at our office, and we use it election day. For our office, we fill it out at the end of the day. You know, it's locked and sealed with two of us showing that it's empty. That's on video, too. We do have video coverage. At the end of the day, we open it, you know, so it can be seen on video. Both of us count them, sign off with how many we had, sign off on the form, and they're processed and put away. Election day, the chief and the assistants seal the box, and then at the end of the day, open the box, mark on that chain of custody form how many are in there, seal it back, and they do it in front of the other officers of election. Seal it in there, bring it here, and then once it's brought election night, we open it, verify that what they said at the precinct is what they brought here, and then we take them and process them and put them away.
Would you allow observers to have the count of the daily ballots that are being taken out of the box?
Unless the state says that's not something I can't provide.
Like, for example, an organization like us, an observer comes over mm-hmm. and says, "Dear Miss, how many ballots did you get yesterday out of the drop box? You'd be willing to give that number to a third party, a nonpartisan representative, or even a partisan representative?
I would have to check, but I can't imagine that wouldn't be public information.
And you only have the one drop box here for the county?
Mm-hmm. It's right inside our door, chained to another door.
So it's only accessible during business hours?
That's right.
23, was there any time during the last election cycle when your drop boxes did not have video monitoring?
The drop box here was always under video surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And 24, who is responsible for reviewing the video, and were party observers present during the review?
Well, I didn't have to review the video.
Okay.
I would guess that would be me, since it is the registrar's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if that became an issue, I would check with the state and follow their procedure. I would assume that would be the electoral board and party reps. As well as, if we're reviewing that, it would probably be also some type of law enforcement.
Uh-huh. Okay. Alrighty. So, we are doing so well here. Alrighty. To strengthen the public confidence in the integrity of elections, we hope to expand our observation efforts and have a few questions about election pages, nonpartisan observers, and party observers. 25, Would you provide training and support or designate us to provide training and support for an Election Day page program as described in 24.2-604.3?
Well, we've not had a need for that, and so we've not used that, and right now our plan is not to use that program. Mm-hmm. If we did that in the future, we would be doing the training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So 26, would you authorize nonpartisan election observers with the same rights as party representatives as described in 24.2-604.5A?
I'd have to say no.
Okay. 27, would you authorize international nonpartisan observers from recognized election monitoring organizations?
I would say no, unless that organization was approved by the Department of Elections and they gave us the okay to do that.
All right. 28, have your local party chairs been notified that they are entitled to send observers to your office each day it is open and receiving in-person absentee ballots?
They're welcome to send observers, but it's not something I've solicited, no.
Okay. All right, so if no, would you be willing to distribute such a publication that we would prepare based, no, I think I skipped a question, didn't I?
Yeah.
You're
yes,
on
I did. 28A.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's 29A. Do you have a publication to provide to your election officials regarding rights and responsibilities of observers?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard this from everybody you spoke with. It's called do's and don'ts. Yes, we do.
And you know, something I've discovered is that up until about a week ago, it was easily accessible on the state's webpage. You cannot find it now. It used to have a tab, a link right at the top. The application was available. The application is hard to find now for election officers, which that when you clicked on that link, it would take you to a page where the what ifs, the do's and don'ts, and the rights and responsibilities were all there. But the only reason I could find them is I saved the addresses, but they're not easily found anymore. Do you have a copy of those on a county registrar's website by any chance?
I don't. I've not thought about putting that on there. Of course, we would provide it. But I believe if you go under election law now and then follow through that part of their site, because I went day before yesterday to make sure I had the most up-to-date version of it.
So it's under laws now?
I think
okay,
so.
Okay, cool.
I think that's how I went through election law, and then it gives you the opportunity to get information, public information. I can't remember what it's under right now. It's not coming to me, but if you follow through that, you may be able to find it.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you do have it, but would you be willing to distribute such a publication that we would prepare based on Virginia law?
No. I mean, I think it's my responsibility to follow the information that the Department of Elections gives me.
All right. So we want to thank you for completing this survey. And do you gentlemen have any other questions that you want to pose? Or do you have any further information that I haven't covered that you feel would be helpful or essential to our survey here that would help us in trying to make elections transparent?
No, I mean, other than assuring you that we work hard. We work hard every minute we're here, and every minute we're not here, it's going through our minds to make sure that, you know, our most important thing is transparency and election integrity, and we work very hard to see that that's what happens.
How can we help you?
Yeah.
Well, I've got her address. When it comes to me, I'll call Miss Kathy here. Just helping us get the correct information out. You know, mm-hmm. Just make sure. You know.
I like this part of the state.
I do too. I'll tell you what, I'm about ready to move out here. I'm telling you that this has been fantastic. I'm with you.
I like this part of the state.
Yep. And I know why you like it. I know why.
Well, I moved here because I like the mountains.
Well, there you go.
And then the people just happened to be wonderful.
I do have a question about CAP. Do you have a date that you're going to start counting the CAP from the mail-in? Do you have a specific date, or are you waiting on the stack to become a specific size?
Well, I guess we're waiting to be sure. You know, if it gets to be a large number, we will do several. The state says we're required to do it beginning 7 days before the election, so we would for sure do it that particular day. If we get a large, large number, we will do more than that. And of course, the parties will be notified just as soon as that's decided.
So your plan currently is to open CAP 7 days before the election? To process the CAP.
I guess we're talking, I was thinking pre-processing. Let me start again. No, the CAP will be open election day.
Let me rephrase my question. I said my question wrong. The CAP will be open September 17th.
Right, and
correct.
The registrar's office.
You'll start receiving ballots, correct. They're going to be put into a stack. Wherever you're deciding you're going to secure those returned. Do you have a date in mind when you're going to open the mailing envelope and view the security envelope?
We will do that as they come through.
As they come in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then are you going to be keeping the security envelope inside the mailing envelope, or are you going to be separating them? Keeping them together. Then is there a date that you're going to process the actual ballot?
Well, see, that's where I guess I got a
yeah.
lot of things
yes.
there. Right?
Yes, yes,
right.
yes.
We will certainly finish everything on election day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I was speaking about the pre-processing. We will be required to do it 7 days before the election, so we would at least start that day there. If there's a large number and we see the necessity of it, we may do it a few days even before that, so we have them all done. As best we can, the larger numbers before election day. And of course, I can't really tell you when that would be until we see what's going to happen. But the party will be notified.
Yes, and will you be allowing observers?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, poll watchers, basically. Okay.
I've got one follow-up question. When we talked about the ESNS machines,
mm-hmm.
I think it was you mentioned that there's a checklist that they provide you guys that explains what they did, right?
It's some sort of a list that they give us that signs off on that every machine, by the machine number, they've done all of their things that they need to
Is that something that we would be able to obtain with the Freedom of Information Act request?
Or not?
Or not?
Yeah. I would have to check and see if that's something available. I mean, that could be something secure to the machines. You know, there might be something on there that is a security thing. I would have to check and see. I don't know right offhand whether you could or not.
It'd be interesting to see, like, you know, not saying that there's anything going on, but it'd be interesting to see, like, so if you guys have an ESNS checklist here, and then there's one up in King and Queen County or something. To see how they compare to what's being done in different parts of the state, just to
I would think it's a generic
form.
If you have that machine,
I'd say
it's probably just a generic preventive maintenance sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. Check
power supply. Check the.
If
check
you,
fans,
it'd just be interesting to see, you know, just because that is another piece that you could put out there to say, like, hey, look, you know, it doesn't matter what part of Virginia you're in, if you're using the ESNS machines, they're doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Then just another way to educate people and say, promote
comments. Those folks that come, I mean, they go all over the state. They,
mm-hmm.
they have groups of people that come. They come this area and do it in our area. And, you know, I can't imagine that not. But whether or not I can give you that or we can give you that, that'd be something I'd have to find out.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
I have a question about our meeting.
Yes, sir.
Kathy had reached out to you about acquiring, about having some time with you. Thank you very much for making the time to meet. Thank you for meeting with us. Were you aware of our organization doing these meetings before she reached out to you?
We had been notified that you all were coming around, that's all.
Thank you. And had you seen a copy of the questionnaire before we got here?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I really do. I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for being with us.
These are the answers that Josh recorded. So would you just look that over and make sure that we've...
Yeah, if there's any notations you want me to add or anything you want me to strike, I will gladly do that.
Well, I'm curious as to how, when I said that the county was very good to us, you put yes to parity. And that seemed, I mean, explain.
What number is that?
Number three, because I had said the county was very, you know, good, very supportive. Very good to us and supportive. And you said yes to parity. I don't quite understand.
Oh, I think that the question that he was asking was when you explained the 40 and 40. So the parity would be.
Well, you've got that on the question where it says, do you feel like you have resources, equipment, personnel, and training? You did ask that during that part of that question.
Right.
But that's not really the answer to that question.
Let me add another sentence to that.
That goes with the election officials. Yes,
she
to
had
say,
you know what? She squared away. Attention to detail.
That's
like
fantastic.
That.
Yeah, I like that too. She's like sending it back, saying no. Red check mark.
Hey, I'm in.
Let me strike
that
a line.
To,
this was a follow-up question.
Right. I'm going to put follow-up.
Got you.
Thank you.
That was the answer to number six, because we were answering that, and then
you
we
asked,
asked
that
about the
right.
Parity.
You know what? I'm going to stay
right.
Outside and take that call, Josh.
Okay.
Thank you.
See
nice
number
to meet you
six.
Too.
How about that?
There you go. Okay.
Nice to meet you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Everything all right?
Yeah, I just need to talk.
Cheeseburger's sitting heavy on my stomach.
Making me sleepy?
Yes, indeed. I think they put a value in that thing. I need a cup of coffee.
check your round there. We talked about that. I have an excellent electoral board that is very involved. Thank you.
Yeah, so we appreciate you being here.
So proud of what we do here in Pulaski County. It's just, we feel very, very good about it. So
I've worked up here from time to time. People help me at the courthouse. Very, very tough, very nice. It's a good place to work.
It is.
I can see that furniture factory sitting over there.
I know, we do too. Over?
Well, just, you know.
Which number?
Number 14, you know, it says, how do you verify citizens? Well, DMV applications, you know, they're, to get a DMV application and to be a, to get a license, you have to show your birth certificate and that kind of thing. That's what I meant by DMV applications. You know, those are approved before we even get them. So the felony question had to do with the people that come in person and the hard copies that we get. Okay, just so understand what
let me write the clarification here. During registration, how do you verify citizens? Your answer was DMV.
And DMV already verifies
right.
That.
And that's to get the application, they sign a statement that could be used as perjury, which is a felony.
Yes.
That's what that means. Okay. That's kind of my short,
okay.
My shorthand.
Whatever happened to that shorthand?
I know. I never learned it though. I know. But see, here's the problem with the DMV again. You can come in and get a driver's license with a green card, and it automatically pops up. Do you want to register to vote? They're not even a citizen, and they're going to select yes because they don't know any better, or no. They don't know that there, it does not say, are you a U.S. citizen and do you want to register to vote? It only comes up and says, do you want to register to vote? That's a problem at the DMV.
Well, now, just when you said daily review, now that was just a number that I would give you of ballots that were in the box. So I just want to make sure that when you say daily review, we're specific to just that number. That's all we talked about.
Yes, ma'am. Which, yes.
That was, I believe, 22. You were pointing at, I believe.
Was this regarding the security of the drop boxes? And we asked about, I asked you if the follow-up question
was whether or not you could get a list of how many there were.
Right. Follow-up was, would you allow a daily review of the count? Great day. No, it's this is good.
Register?
This is great. Fantastic.
Well, you know, that's what we have to do is be that, have that attention to detail.
You think she's going to let a sneaky ballot get by?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I have no concern about this count. No, I'm absolutely serious.
I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, I absolutely. There are certain counties we have no concern about, but we're surveying every municipality because what we're trying to do is establish a baseline of where everybody is before we go into this election cycle.
All righty, Catherine,
yes,
thank
I will
so
tip
much.
You. The ones that we are concerned about are in Prince William County, Henrico County, and down along the beach.
You know,